This is File 31, Cycle 3. Today's date is April 12, 2018. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Don Hurlbut. He's going to talk about growing up in town, where he works, his military career, and anything else he wants to chat about. But first, we'll start with the genealogical information. What is your name?
My name is Don Hurlbut.
And what is your birth date?
12, December 17, 1948.
And where were you born?
I was born in Greenwich, Connecticut.
And your parents' names?
George W. Hurlbut and Dorothy S. Siegel.
And would you spell the Siegel for me, please?
S-I-E-G-L-E. Yeah.
Thank you. And do you have siblings?
I did have a sister named Daphne.
She's deceased.
She is deceased.
All right. And how did you come to the area?
We moved here in 1958, I believe, from Larchmont, New York.
What was your father's profession?
He and my grandfather had a law office in Lakeville.
And that's why your father moved here?
He moved here to actually join my grandfather in the firm, in the business.
That was not what you wanted to do.
No.
No. When you were in Lakeville, where did you live?
Growing up, lived on Belgo Road.
And it was Dr.
Wheeler's
old house. Dr. Wheeler's Hall, which is the corner of Reservoir and Ormine
Road, yes.
The pretty white one with the stone wall.
Big stone walls, yes.
Pretty, pretty house. Okay. When you were growing up, did you go to the Grove?
All the time.
Good.
All the time anytime we could during the summertime.
And how did you get there?
Rode my bike.
And who ran the Grove at that time?
Ooh.
Frank Markey?
It was Frank Markey, yes.
Had Fred Romeo started to work there then? No.
I don't believe so.
No, that would be too early for Fred.
Right.
Did you learn how to swim at the Grove?
I did.
And was it Art Wilkinson or
no,
Hemmerly?
Much before that. Probably Hemmerly. I actually learned to swim at the Larchmont Yacht Club.
Mm-hmm.
And then came up here.
Well, naturally.
Fresh water was a whole different ballgame.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No waves.
Right.
Do you remember Jeanette Axelby?
I do.
Do you remember her swimming across the lake?
I do.
That was a fascinating...
She was usually the first one in and the last one out
mm-hmm.
of the lake. She in her wetsuit.
Yeah. Did she have polio?
She had polio.
And
yes.
This was why she was doing the swimming.
Exactly.
Did she teach swimming?
I cannot remember if she did. I don't think she did.
I don't think she did either.
No, that was her exercise.
It's a good exercise.
Yeah, it is.
How far is it across the lake?
Too far for me.
I like that answer. I agree with that one.
Even when I was young.
Oh, yeah, that it just looks like a long distance.
I think it's about a mile.
Could be. Certainly more than I want to do.
Exactly.
Did you play baseball?
I played Little League for 2 years. And was not very good at it.
But you had fun.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of fun.
Was the recreation director then?
Mr. Hemmerly.
Him.
Yep.
How about winter sports? What did you do in the wintertime?
Well, we played hockey down on the factory pond, and then sledding, and I don't think I learned to ski until I was in high school.
And where did you ski?
Either Catamount, Butternut.
Did you do Bittersweet at all?
Not at that point. Bittersweet wasn't there.
Ah, okay.
It was up at Hobnob Hill, the ski area.
Okay, all right. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
All righty. When you were sledding, I've heard some pretty horrible stories about where people were sledding.
we go tobogganing at the hill between the buildings at Salisbury Central.
Oh, yeah.
Hotchkiss.
Oh, you didn't come down like Lincoln City Road or
No.
Mount Riger. Oh, yeah. Oh, those were early on when there was no traffic.
Exactly.
Okay. So you were sensible. You were sensible. Well, you were off the street.
We were off the street.
Yeah. How about Holly Hill? You worked at Holly Hill?
I rode at Holly Hill Stables. And when I was, I don't think, 12, maybe 13, I'd ride my bike from Belgo Road out to Holly Hill Stables, and then I'd feed horses, clean tack, ride for an hour, hit, you know, throw around hay bales, and yeah, spend all day there.
You knew Chip Hines?
I knew Chip Hines. I knew his sister, Maggie.
Okay. That was run by Lucy Drummond at that point?
Lucy Drummond. And John Clark was their main man there.
Now, was that the John Clark that was the airplane pilot that lived on Porter Street?
No.
No, different John Clark.
He lived out on 41, just past Holly Hill.
Okay. And Holly Hill Stables at that time was where Clarion Farm is now?
Correct.
Okay. Because it's moved. I try to get things, you know, in perspective and where they were actually located. And you went to high school and you loved the driving lessons, the driving part of it, getting a car.
Well, you know, then you could get a driver's license at 16 immediately. I mean, the day of my 16th birthday, I got my license. And I was a little older than most of the kids, so I was driving, you know, halfway through my sophomore year.
How did you learn to drive?
I got in a car and practiced.
Ah.
Actually, when we were on Belgo Road, I had a lot car, a 1950 Dodge.
Ooh.
Hydromatic that I drove around in the fields back there.
Okay, because my dad was a farm boy, and so he learned driving a tractor.
Tractors, right.
I had to go through driver's ed because I didn't have a lot to drive around in. I wasn't a farm girl,
well,
so I had to do the instruction.
In high school, you had to have driver's ed to graduate.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Time. So I had my license before I took the driver's ed course.
So you must have aced the driver's ed course.
I think I may have.
You probably did.
I didn't have to do any driving. I just had to in the classroom.
Oh. Not one of my favorite things. In sports, you did track.
I did.
And you were very good at it.
I was.
Very good at it.
I was good at it, yes.
You were. You had three records.
I did.
Tell me what the three records were, please.
I had the high jump record, long jump record, and the triple jump record, which I still have.
Yes. Now, with the high jump, that's going over the bar?
Correct.
And do you remember how high your record was?
I think it was 5'10 and a half, maybe 5'11, I'm not sure.
And how about the long jump?
21 feet 8 inches.
Wow. And the triple jump, you're going over three hurdles?
Well, you don't jump any hurdles. It's like a hop, skip, and jump.
Okay.
And that was 43 feet 10 inches.
That's about eight times your height.
Yeah.
Someone who is not a jock, I am very impressed.
Well,
I am very impressed. And this triple jump record is still...
It's still there.
You're still there.
Yes.
Good for you.
I did that in 1967, so it's 51 years.
When did you go into the Army?
I went into... volunteered for the draft and went in September 1969.
And you volunteered?
I volunteered for the draft.
What does that mean?
Well, it gave me a 2-year service instead of 3 years. I was due to be drafted anyway, so I just volunteered.
So you cut off a year of your enlistment?
Right.
That was a smart move.
Well, the thing of it is, if you did something like two years, you were usually going to end up in infantrymen because they weren't going to invest a lot of time in you for schooling.
And where did you do your basic training?
Basic training was in Fort Dix, New Jersey. And then advanced infantry training was in Fort Lewis, Washington.
Washington State.
Correct.
Okay. And you were in Vietnam from?
I was in Vietnam from March 1970 to January 71.
And you were in combat?
I was.
And you were wounded?
I was.
And you said that you were a point man?
I was.
And that means what?
As a point man, if you're walking in a file, I was the first man there.
You were the target?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did that for 4.5 months.
Do you stay in touch with any of the men that you served with?
I'm in touch with one of them. Well, actually, one I served with, one that I knew. There were six of us in a squad. One has disappeared. We don't know where he is. One is dead. The other one has received a traumatic brain injury from an accident. And then there's me and one other guy. So we converse every now and then.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the military, but I understand that there's a special bond, and there would be a special bond with these men.
Oh, yes.
And at that time, it was all men.
Well,
in your squad, anyway.
In combat arms, yeah.
Yeah, okay. When did you go to Fort Bennington?
Fort Benning. I came back in January, so I think I reported March 1, 1971. I was there until July 14th, I think.
And your rank?
I was a specialist fourth class, which is comparable to a corporal.
Okay.
And where I worked, I was an acting E6, which is a staff sergeant.
Yeah, give me that again, please.
I was an acting E6.
Acting?
E6, staff sergeant. Because the slot was for a staff sergeant, and they didn't have anybody available, so I was...
Yeah. So you were put in?
Yeah.
Okay. So you came home in 71,
mm-hmm.
And as an adult, you worked in various places?
I did. I think I...
Village store?
I worked at the village store for a while,
and
until it was sold.
And who was running it then?
Paul and Gene Blackburn. And at that point, it was half sporting goods and half hardware.
Odd combination.
It was. And then it went to when John Higgins took it over.
And then John took it over.
It was all sporting goods.
And you worked at community service.
I did. I worked in the Sharon store for about a while. I can't remember how long. And then I started with Arnoff Moving and Storage.
With community service, was there a special department that you were in?
No,
or you just did everything?
No, I did.
You did paint, you did hardware.
There were a couple of us in the store.
Okay.
So we do just about everything.
And then you went over to Arnoff, and you actually did the moving, and you did customer service?
I did some moving, customer service, dispatch, operations.
What's operations?
Well, it's the overall running of the... making sure everybody was
doing
where they
job.
Were supposed to be and getting the job done.
And you worked at Allendale Line?
Yeah, I worked at Arnoff for 30 years. And I was at Allendale Limestone for 13 years.
A man of very interesting talents.
Yeah.
But you like to work with your hands. You like to be outside.
Yeah.
That was good for you to do that. You have been a volunteer, and one of the things that impressed me was that you go to the high school and you talk about Vietnam.
I did, but they don't seem to want to hear about it much anymore.
But it's history.
It is history. I know, but if you look at a history book,
I know.
You don't see a whole lot about it.
And
other
that's
than the fact that we were bad people for being there.
No, you were not.
Well,
you were doing your duty for your country.
Yes,
I'm
that's
sorry.
Correct. No, I fully believe that. I do.
Duty is important.
Most assuredly.
And I felt, and I always have felt, that if I was asked to do something, that was my duty to do it to the best of my ability.
Exactly. That's correct. No matter what it is, you do it to the best of your ability.
Yeah, yeah.
My father always told me that. If, you know, you're digging a ditch,
do a nice
one.
Or you're
doing brain surgery, you do it to the best of your ability.
Yeah, yeah. And it's inner motivation. Mm-hmm. It truly is. I'll get off my soapbox. Sorry about
that. No problem.
You'd go into the high school to a specific class.
To a history class.
To a history class.
I think I did that 3 or 4 times. And I just wouldn't talk about it. I'd let them ask questions.
Yeah, well, that's easier.
That's a lot easier for me.
Yeah. It's easier because you don't know what they want to know.
Exactly.
Now, you said that Mary Louise Kenny was doing a veterans project.
Yes, she's doing, I can't remember what it's called.
Do you know what she's doing it for? Is she doing it for, like, the American Legion, or?
I don't know.
That's perfectly fine.
But I know it all goes into the I think it's the Library of Congress history project or something.
Okay, like that. That's fine. And she taped you, I think you said, for something like 2.5 to 3 hours.
2.5 hours.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I thought I had like 10 minutes of stuff to say. It just went by.
But when you're talking about something that you know about, mm-hmm. time isn't important.
Yeah.
It's the information that you're getting out. You had a wonderful story about when you were coaching minor league baseball.
Yeah.
You had a little girl like me that had no athletic ability.
Yes.
Please tell me that story.
I got involved with that because my sons were playing. And I seemed to end up, I did this for 3 or 4 or 5 years or something. I always seemed to end up with the less than athletic kids on my team, which I loved.
Yeah.
The other guys were taking it so seriously, and we were having fun.
And that's so important.
I thought so. And they were learning a little bit of baseball, or a little, you know, the mechanics of. And I had one little girl who was, you know, a little overweight, and no athletic ability whatsoever. And by the end of the season, a ball was hit to her at second base, and she fielded the ball and threw it to first base and got the out. And that was my success right there.
Oh, absolutely.
It was. It was great. Loved it.
And she was proud of herself.
I think she was. I believe she was.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Because that's so important.
I think she was a little astounded. But she did. She did.
Oh,
that was fine.
Wonderful. Were you ever on the recreation committee?
I was for a while.
Okay.
Especially when we were doing the 5 and 10 year planning, but I got off rapidly when.
Oh, that was the strategic planning.
Strategic planning. I was not on the recreation committee in town. No.
Oh.
But for the strategic planning, I did get off of that.
What is that supposed to be? Planning for the future.
Planning for the future, 5 and 10 year plan kind of thing for the town.
Oh, okay.
And my plan was to do, you know, horseshoe pits and basketball courts at the Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And people didn't seem to like that because the kids would be running all over the place and disrupting
the grass.
The grass.
Don't work on the. Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Horseshoe pits, and what was the other thing you?
Basketball
were?
Courts. They do have. I mean, they had one broken down basketball hoop. Part of the parking lot.
How about affordable housing? Were you on that?
No, I was not. I always thought we should have affordable housing. But
no, we have.
On that strategic plan, people that had moved into the town, you know,
They had a different attitude.
They have a very different attitude, and they started saying, well, we don't need affordable housing here because all the workers can live in either Canaan or Millerton.
And that's wrong.
That's wrong, and that's why I got off the whole thing, because I couldn't stand that kind of attitude.
No, it's
and it, you know, it wasn't worth fighting, you know.
No, it isn't. I mean, sorry for the pun, but you pick your wars.
You do.
And that's not one you wanted to mess around with.
Not at that time, no.
Absolutely. What haven't I covered that you'd like to tell me?
Well, I've just gone through life doing the best I can. And, you know, there's not a whole lot left to tell.
Well, you've done very well, and I thank you so much for your information.
Well, you're welcome. It's been... Thank you for asking, by the way.